yeah, bruh!
Welcome to the TKD update presented to you by Moen McGee.
Chicken or chicken?
Welcome in, folks. Moen McGee on TKD. You know, I wasn't sure we were going to make it this week, but we had to make sure we got out a podcast for you fellas.
Yeah, just a little short one here. I'm not going to have the other couple episodes, but it's always good to talk a little TKD, especially when I kick your little ass, Kevin.
Chatting a little bit before the show, is I did not have high hopes when I was trotting out Khalif Raymond and Terrace Marshall. And then when Joe Mixon went and ran for 5 touchdowns against my Carolina Panthers, I could safely shut off the TV and go on with my Sunday. It was over.
Yeah, this is, the rest of my team didn't really show up. Cooper Kupp did Cooper Kupp things, I guess. But Joe Mixon, 55 points. I think it was the 9th highest ever, or since they've, been tracking fantasy football points.
For running
back. It would have been hard to lose if you have Joe Mixon. I doubt many people owned him and lost.
Yeah. But you know there's some out there that did. That's the fun of fantasy football. Why don't we hit the first matchup, which is you versus me. You get the weekly winner, $25. We're talking Joe Mixon, rest of your team. What do you think?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Had CeeDee Lamb and George Kittle out this week, which is obviously going to change things. We've said this a time or two, but I'm just in purgatory between Thielen and Curtis Samuel. Whichever one, let's say Godwin or CeeDee Lamb or Cooper Kupp goes down for any number of reasons, I'm going to just be in purgatory picking between Thielen and Curtis Samuel. Even though, today, if you look at Curtis Samuel, he's wide receiver 13 on the season. Literally,
everybody had him mocked.
Right? Yeah. So he's had 2 bad games. Other than that, he's been a flex level starter, which is nice. He's getting carries still, getting shot plays. Running back's going to be an issue. Tyler Allgeier probably not usable anymore with Cordell Patterson coming back. Khalil Herbert, even though the Bears score 32 points, somehow he's not really involved at all, which is very concerning. I'm in deep running back shit, but Chris Godwin gets like 12 targets a game. Cooper Kupp's really good. CeeDee Lamb, Kittle coming back. And then Tua, baby. Tua just has to throw those little slants and let the fast guys take it.
Seems to be working for the Dolphins so far this season. Looking up and down your roster, is this a championship team?
I want to say yes, just because I think my receivers can, if it just lines up where my receivers are hot during the playoffs, I don't think I really need much production if Godwin, Kupp, and CeeDee Lamb are all going hot at the same time. Now, if, it takes one bad game from one of those guys and I'm probably sunk. But I think with Mixon, Tua, Godwin, Kupp, CeeDee Lamb, George Kittle, I have enough ceiling there. And then, just praying to God that Naeem Hines or Kyren Williams, Khalil Herbert, some one of those guys makes it happen. But it's a long shot right now.
Yeah, that's kind of where I stand too. I think you make it into the playoffs. It's a 3-week season at that point. Anything can happen in 3 weeks. You do have the ceiling to contend with anybody. It's just a matter of that floor.
My floor. Yeah, my floor is lower.
Creep up on you a little bit. That'll be the issue.
Yeah. Kevin, let's head over to your team. You mentioned it. You had to start a cast of Deion Jackson, not exactly a murderer's row. And, you know, you had Gus Edwards there, injured, Brandon Cooks. I don't know what's going to happen with him. Keenan Allen, I don't think, is ever going to be healthy again. And then Christian McCaffrey on bye. That's just brutal. Those are starters, all of them.
Yep. Yeah, it's tough. Tough to navigate this little world we have here. But I didn't have Isaiah Likely on my team until I dropped him for Michael Gallup. That would have been a better play. Other than that, I don't think I could have played this any better.
No.
It was just going to be stacked against me. And, you know, sometimes that's how it works. People are going to go off in your face, Joe Mixon. It's going to happen. And you just have to sit there and take it. Let it just splatter right there. I did make a trade.
You did. I was going to mention that, Kevin.
Yeah, so
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson, no longer on the team. We're in full-on tank mode, and we had to let him go contend someplace else.
So you brought back Devonta Smith as kind of the main piece. Geno kind of as your fill-in quarterback. Geno's been good. How did the trade talks go between you and Luke, or was this just like a cold offer and he accepts?
I wake up at 7:30 in the morning. I see a text, or not even a text, a trade offer in the ESPN app from Luke Higgins. And I look at it. I ponder for 5 minutes and I have to hit accept. Okay. The reason I have to hit accept is I'm in territory where I can maybe lose once the rest of the season. Next week, Lamar Jackson has his bye. So I was already going to consider moving Lamar Jackson. And I get to move him on to a team that potentially also isn't a must-win situation in Luke, you know, to a much lesser degree than mine, but somebody who I'm going to be contending with for one of those playoff spots.
Absolutely.
And I get Devonta Smith to, add to my very depleted receiving core. It was a little bit of a no-brainer. I don't like giving up Lamar Jackson because I love his ceiling, but without Rashad Bateman, with Mark Andrews banged up, there were going to be concerns there too. Didn't want to take it, but I had to.
Yeah, and so Devonta Smith kind of, you know, how banged up your wide receiver core is immediately becomes your kind of wide receiver one. I suppose we'll talk about Luke's teams a little later, but we had been kind of hammering this all season. Needed to get away from the double Eagles wide receivers. Does that. So I think it's a good trade all around. You know, Luke is probably thinking the same thing as you. Would I rather have a nice flex receiver or, you know, have the extreme upside of Lamar Jackson to try? Like you said, he's in the same, I think his record is the exact same as yours. No, he has one game ahead. But
another win on me. Yep.
But yeah, still, if you lose this week, your risk of falling behind. So he does take Lamar Jackson on the bye, but then he's kind of saying to himself, if Lamar Jackson gets hot, go on a run. Desperation trade.
You need elite players on your team to win in the playoffs. I think it was a great move for Luke too. I think it was a win-win on both sides. I was just in more desperation mode. Had to do it.
Yeah. You know, Greg got the win this week, but once again, it seems just like little ticky-tack heartbreaks for Greg as he loses the $25 point lead by 1 point. And, you know, the win's good, but it just seems like the guy can't catch the full break. He almost scores the most of the whole week, but can't do it. Justin Fields, Greg might have found a solution at quarterback there. Derrick Henry's kind of a wagon. And then, you know, might be time to start talking about Juju. I might have been wrong. 3 weeks in a row, over 18 points for Juju.
Yeah, we'll see if he keeps it going. But I was definitely also in that Juju hate boat, and he's put up solid points, like you said, 3 weeks in a row. I think at this point, Greg's very happy to trot him out there in the flex spot. the one thing here, Greg, James Robinson scored over 13 points. Move him. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, for Curtis Samuel.
Maybe not that. Maybe get
Curtis Samuel's wide receiver 13 on the season, Kevin.
Yeah, but is Curtis Samuel going to play over Alan Lazard? Probably not. Is Curtis Samuel going to play over Juju? Probably not.
Is James Robinson going to play over any of those people?
James Robinson can at least fill in for Leonard Fournette when Leonard Fournette goes on bye. Tampa hasn't been on bye, have they? I don't know. What about Truck?
Truck. Dante Adams, nice. Otherwise,
Patriots.
Patriots defense, Kevin. Your old trusty friends.
But yes, other than that, a little bit of a stinker here. Brad does believe in his team. God damn it. Nobody tell him otherwise. He's going to try.
Yeah, that was a weird. What a weird text exchange this week. out of them. Brad's super confident in his team. You know, as I'm looking at it, so when he made the Devontae Adams trade, we were like, wow, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Devontae Adams, and Michael Pittman looks to be really good. Michael Pittman, no longer a must start. He's really bad with Sam Ellinger. Amon-Ra St. Brown just doesn't look like he's healthy, slash the Lions are trending down as an offense. And then Devontae Adams obviously has a ceiling game. But it's been super inconsistent with him as well. I think Brad's in deep trouble here at 4-5.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's just there's not much upside. Dante Foreman, 4.1 points. That's with Chuba Hubbard out. Chuba Hubbard's back this week. Jamal Williams. You don't feel good about playing him, but
no, he's a 50-50 split.
David, like the running backs don't feel good. You talked about those wide receivers. You know, I do feel pretty good about Pat Freiermuth and Kyler Murray. I think both those guys will be plus at their positions, but not plus. So the upside just isn't there for Brad right now. And it's
He just doesn't have the guns. Let's go to Dan. Dan got a win over Garrett. Garrett could not keep it going. 1 week after scoring 150, craters back to earth, 77. Once again, finds himself at the bottom of the league in scoring for the week. DeAndre Hopkins, you know, I think is going to be really good. Obviously scored the touchdown this week, but wasn't really heavily targeted or a lot of catches. And then Drake London, Jacoby Myers, Kyle Pitts is just kind of a mess. But we've known Garrett's team is kind of a mess.
Yeah. We talked about it at the beginning of the season. Doubling down on that Atlanta passing attack was potentially didn't look good then. It definitely doesn't look good now. I think he missed his opportunity to trade out of it. And just doesn't look – not a lot of signs pointing up for Garrett either, similar to Brad.
Yeah, and, you know, we didn't mention this with Greg, but Greg does, with the win, hops up again. You know, Garrett kind of leveled even with him. There was some hope for Garrett that he wasn't going to have to run the beer mile or dress up in some little short skirt. But now it looks like trending back that way. Dan gets Cordarrelle Patterson back healthy, scores 2 touchdowns, and forms, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson, Rhamondre Stevenson, Nick Chubb. That's really good. He also has Jeff Wilson.
TJ Hawkinson's much more intriguing in the Vikings.
Yep. I would really, you know, I've been in constant communication with Dan trying to trade for one of these running backs. He has 4, does not have the wide receivers, so seems like he needs – you know, there's plenty more wide receivers out there. I'm not saying he has to do it with me. Would like it if he did it with me. But, you know, go get a second wide receiver to pair with Jefferson. Cash in on that running back depth.
He's already made a deal for a wide receiver, and his name is George Pickens.
Yeah. We, you know, it, once again, I think this is, I have to mention it every time. This team would look pretty damn good. It's Deebo Samuel, huh, Kevin?
I can't argue.
Yeah. But Dan, 5-4, you know, he's right there. You know, would I put him above Luke right now? You know, another 5-4 team, you know, we'll do a little standings talk after. It's close. He's right there. Yeah, he's right
there. Almost like they have the same record or something.
Let's go to Woods, a guy who does not have the same record as those guys. Woods beat Huber 128-98. Kevin, I want you to click on Kenyon Drake.
Did not want to.
Yep, click on him. So go from week 6 down. So week 6, 19 points. Week 7, 0.5 points. Week 8, 16. Week 9, 24. So three really good performances, right? Guess the 1 week Logan picked him up and started him.
Was it the 1 week that Gus Edwards was active for the Mighty Ravens?
Yeah, it was the Cleveland game. He scored 0.5 points. So got the win, but immediately dropped him. He's gone on to score 40 points in the next two games. So he's kind of been – he kept Woods running backs afloat here as Saquon and Najee were both on bye. Does Kenyon Drake have any lasting value after the Ravens bye?
No. This is Gus Edwards' backfield. Kenyon Drake will be involved in the passing game just enough to make Gus Edwards not a great play. But you can say goodbye to two goal line touchdowns. That's not happening with Gus Edwards healthy and on the roster.
Yeah. It does seem kind of silly to go away from Drake because he has been, you know, super successful, averaging like 5-7 yards per carry over the last three games. But it does seem like they want to give it to Gus Edwards.
Is running exceptionally well as, until he got hurt again. Again and again.
Other than that, Woods is going to be a competitor for, you know, he's going to be right there in the championship race. Now, I'm going to ask you the same question that you asked me. Is Woods' team a championship team?
Let me check Seattle's schedule before I answer that, because I think it'll down to those two receivers and, you know, depending on who they play in the playoffs, if those are high over under games and, you know, there's two passing touchdowns to get shared amongst those two, I think it is a championship team. But my concern is his floor will run a little flat and somebody will put up a big number on him and he'll get knocked out. I think that's a big concern with me for Ryan. But other than that, I think it's a very talented team, and he should be favored most weeks. It's just he can be taken down if those Seattle receivers don't perform.
Yeah, Huber, 98 points. What looked to be a decent running back tandem, falling kind of flat. Justin Herbert, not the same Justin Herbert. Mecole Hardman kind of pops up and has popped up a couple games in a row here. But if Jalen Waddle doesn't go off, this team kind of not much substance.
Yeah. With Zach Ertz, like, is it DeAndre Hopkins? Is it going to be Rondale Moore? Is Zach Ertz going to be there? Like, not a lot of upside at the tight end position either, and you kind of walk down the rest of those guys. Injury concerns with both Swift and Aaron Jones at this point. It's just kind of, yuck.
Yeah, he did get lucky earlier in the season with some, you know, facing some teams that really had low point totals, and he outstretched them a little bit. As teams are kind of finding the groove here through the end of the season, I don't see Huber making the playoffs. Right now he's in seventh. Right now he's looking outside. I think that'll be the case at the end of the season.
The one thing that I think can absolutely be a huge saving grace for Huber, and I think it's a massive long shot, but if three things happen, three small things. One, DeSean Jackson comes back and doesn't play like a player that hasn't played in a year and a half, 2 years. Amari Cooper's hammy does not act up. And Huber's constantly playing Amari Cooper in this lineup. If Amari Cooper can be a top five wide receiver, I can see it with Huber, but it's going to take a few small miracles for that to happen, I think.
Well, yeah, it's gonna have to be Jalen Waddle and Amari Cooper scoring 60 combined points, ish. I mean, right now he's starting a Bears wide receiver. He started a Bears wide receiver this week. I get that Judy and Amari Cooper were on by, but yeah. A Bears wide receiver. Yeah. Let's head to the number one team, the team that can seemingly do no wrong. That's Carter, 122, Kramer, 105. Kramer has now lost, I believe that's three in a row, I want to say. Just two in a row for Kramer, but I think, three of the last four at least. Kramer's kind of on the downslide. Carter is for sure a championship team. He has the guns. However, can he be stopped, I guess, is the real question, Kevin.
Yeah, I think he can be stopped. There's a Raheem Mostert, now Jeff Wilson's in the mix there in Miami. What's his running back position going to look like with Miles Sanders? We've kind of come back to pick on those running backs a little bit here and there. And, part of that is just because the wide receivers are so strong. But if the running backs fall flat and you get average weeks from Diggs, Tyreek, and Olave, it's definitely a beatable team, but certainly not a team I ever want to be facing.
Yeah, I pray to God I get the two seed and have to only worry about him if I make the championship. That would be ideal. Kramer gets big weeks from Christian Kirk, Dallas Goedert, 24-21, but really nothing else. Jalen Hurts. 20 points, good for a lot of quarterbacks, not good for Jalen Hurts. And he really needed Jalen Hurts to have kind of an outstanding game. No JT, obviously no Jamar Chase. Kramer's just a little too banged up right now.
Yeah, if you would have said 3 weeks ago, Kramer's going to have Christian Kirk go for 21 and Dallas Goedert go for 24, you'd probably say, okay, he'd probably put up 160. Pretty easily, because the rest of that lineup was really kicking, and those maybe looked like the weak spots. But now it looks grim. He needs JT to be back. He needs Chase to be back. Breece Hall won't be back, so
no.
He can keep his fingers crossed. But that one's not happening. I do think that Kramer can pull turn it around here, but he. I think the big one that has to come back is Jamar Chase.
Well, I think the big one is JT. Is there anything in the tank there for the rest of the season? He's not an old guy, obviously banged up this year, but I think it all hinges on if he's going to play on a bad team or if they're going to kind of say, hey, you know what? Fired the coach, fired everybody. Let's get you healthy for next year with a new coach, new system, and let's kind of go all guns. And then all of a sudden, Kramer's team, when you're starting Devin Singletary every week, it's kind of rough.
The only saving grace for Kramer actually is, if he could get Chase back, but he wasn't able to get Jonathan Taylor back, with Josh Allen potentially maybe out a week or two, maybe three, depending on if it's a full-on UCL tear or major nerve damage. There could be a lot of dump-offs to Devin Singletary. I think that is possible. That's the only reason I think Jamar Chase is the more must-have back. Other than that, I completely agree. I wouldn't feel good about Devin Singletary otherwise.
Yeah. All right. Last matchup we haven't talked about. Your trade partner, 118-108 over Murphy. This was two teams, 4-4 teams, going to opposite directions here. Let's talk about Luke's team. Kenneth Walker's kind of looking like a league winner here, Kevin.
Yeah, he's really good. He scores lots of touchdowns. You like that on a team.
Yeah. paired that with Dalvin Cook, who, yes, is not the exact same Dalvin Cook as old, but he's still out there a lot, scoring touchdowns seemingly every week now. And Travis Kelce is a beast. A.J. Brown's pretty good. Deebo Samuel on bye. Antonio Gibson kind of looks. So what? I guess what is he going to do with the flex? Is it Tyler Boyd in the flex now? You know, for the foreseeable future, is he going to toy around with Antonio Gibson in there, or do you think it's just kind of cut and dry Tyler Boyd?
I think he'll toy around with Antonio Gibson a little bit, and you know, if Aaron Jones's injury appears to be a little bit more serious than what's been let on so far, AJ Dillon I think could also be in the mix there. I think that flex would be very flexible.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so he needed to figure out the quarterback situation. He started Aaron Rodgers, gets Lamar Jackson. You know, that's the one part of the deal that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, I guess, is why he felt the need to go out and get a quarterback. Geno Smith, quarterback 8 on the season. He had a couple rough weeks, week 6 and 7, but has bounced back 8 and 9. That part's a little curious to me, why wide receiver or why quarterback was the target. But trade from a place of strength with your receivers, upgrade a little bit on the quarterback, and that's what happens.
Yep. Like I alluded to a little bit on why I felt the need to deal Lamar Jackson at this point. We'll have him on bye this week, so you'll probably see Rodgers out there again. Boyd also on bye, and if Deebo isn't back, this could be a really interesting team for week 10. That's just probably a loss, but I think he can turn it right back around with 4 wins without too much issue. So I really like Luke's team. I wish Luke's team was my team, to be honest, but that's...
All I'm going to say is I see a little bit of a warning sign with the flex. That's all I'm going to say. If Jamar Chase comes back, Tyler Boyd's not exactly a good start. Antonio Gibson has been interesting, but not a person you're super happy starting. And then you look up and down the roster, not really super happy with starting like Josh Reynolds. He's rostering 3 quarterbacks right now. That'll change. But yeah. The flex is weak right now.
It could be weak, but I guess my argument is if you can trot out Lamar, Dalvin, Kenneth Walker, AJ Brown, Deebo Samuel, Travis Kelce, now I get to the flex spot. I can afford to give up 3 points there, 4 points, no problem with the rest of that lineup.
Yeah, you make good points, Kevin. You know, team Murphy, 4-5, you mentioned, you know, we'll just kind of segue this into, you know, our matchup of the week, which is you and Murphy. Murphy goes down to 4-5. Josh Allen, you mentioned the injury already, but running back's really good. If you bought into the Tampa Bay passing offense, you're not feeling great. Makes a good play on Josh Palmer. And then this week gets Deontay Johnson, Cortland Sutton back, Kareem Hunt in play as well. Kevin, what are your chances against Murphy this weekend? It's kind of a must-win territory.
Yeah, we're both going to be in must-win territory. I like my odds if Josh Allen's out. If Josh Allen's in, I think it'll be a hell of a dogfight, and I don't like that Austin Eckler is on the other team. If I were making the line, I would give Murphy -1. 1-point favorite.
Oh wow, only a 1-point favorite. Yeah, Austin Eckler has been fucking incredible ever since Greg traded him in week three. 34, 35, 24, 36. How high does Austin Eckler go in drafts next year?
Oh, boy. I say he probably will go 101 if he keeps this up. I think he'll fade off a tiny bit at the end of the year, and he'll go 103. You know, I don't know if that's where he was consensus this year. It was close to 103, but
look at the landscape. There's not really a guy at running back that you're going to feel super confident in outside of Austin Eckler next year.
Christian McCaffrey in a Kyle Shanahan offense.
I don't know, dude. I'm never going to buy into McCaffrey again. I'm sorry. I'm not.
Put up 40 points last week.
Yeah. He could get injured and you'll never see him again.
Yeah. So could Austin Eckler. Eckler is made of bionic legs.
There's a long, long history of Christian McCaffrey injuries, Kevin. Don't tell me.
No, there's not a long, long history. There is a specific 2-year history, and before that, he missed 0 games in his NFL career. That is not a long, long history. Do not slander that man's name.
2 years. Sorry, I didn't know you jerk off the Christian McCaffrey highlights every night.
No,
You know, Kevin, he's not going to be on your team next year, so.
The Carolina will still be paying for him, though.
He's not going to be on your fantasy team either, so you can't roster bait it either.
What do you mean? I'll just keep him.
Oh, sure you will.
Austin Eckler, I could see anywhere between 101 and 103 at this point.
Yeah. Unless you're drafting, 101, that'll be McCaffrey, I guess, apparently. Not me, though. I'll go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else.
Standings. Not much to say. It is interesting. Just another, sorry, Greg moment. So the top 5 people in the standings are also, it's the exact same order of points scored, except for Greg. Greg is number 6 in points scored, 11th in the standings. So what I mean by that, Carter, number 1 point scorer, number 1 in the standings. Woods, number 2 point scorer, number 2 in the standings. So on and so forth, except for Greg, number 6 point scorer, 11th in the standings. Just brutal stuff.
Yeah, just Greg keeps getting shat on. Sorry, Greg. It's not fun. It happens to somebody every year. This year it's Greg. Sorry.
Yeah. Greg. It's weird, though, Kevin. It's never happened to me. But I guess whatever.
Yeah.
It does happen to some people.
If I recall, you have the second least amount of points scored on you in the history of the league.
It's because I play good defense, Kevin.
Yeah, great, exceptional defense.
There is something to be said. You come at the big dog. You come at the top dog. People get a little scared, make some lineup choices that they're not happy with. There's something to be said about that.
Oh, absolutely.
That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, for sure.
When you come at the big dog, you have to bring out, people start trying weird things that they haven't tried all season. It tends to lower their point ceiling, I guess. I don't know what else to say. 6-0 for the Grinders. So, Kevin, you mentioned 4-5 must-win territory. So that puts you, Murphy and Brad all in must-win territory. However, there's a lot of 5-4 teams. I can see a jumbled mess going on for the rest of the season where it takes one win and you kind of rocket yourself back up the standings.
Yeah, the issue is not everybody ahead of you can lose. So Dustin is up there in points. I'm not sure where exactly he ranks. This cursory look, it looks like 7th. Ish. 8. So he has a little bit better chance. I am 10th or 11th in points. I'm fucked. I have to win. So that must win territory, definitely for me, less so for Brad and Dustin. because there can be a little bit of shiftiness going on there. It's going to come down to points. But there's, I won't be able to leap everybody. But there's going to be people ahead of me that win 3 out of the next 4 or 5 weeks.
So 5-4 teams include Huber, Higgins, Dan, Kramer. We've mentioned all 4 of those teams have some, you know, good qualities, some not. And then me and Woods, 2 and 3. I really do think the 2 seed is going to be important this year to avoid Carter into the championship. Do you think any of the 5-4 teams can overtake me and Woods and get there? Is it Luke? I know you like Luke's team a lot.
I do like Luke's team. I do like Luke's team. He does trail both you and Ryan by 50 plus points. Makes it a little bit tougher, but definitely doable. I think if Swift's guys catch fire here a little bit, he can contend. I do like Ryan the best out of the 6 and 3 and 5 and 4 teams, though.
Okay. Any final thoughts?
I do think Austin Eckler probably does go 1-0-1 next year. That is my final thought. However, I do think that the fantasy experts, and I'm air quoting for those that are just listening, I do think the fantasy experts will find reasons to not like him over the offseason that could potentially push him out of the 1-0-1 spot. I don't think I'll be in that camp. But loaded offense, lots of guys coming back. I think there's going to be an argument that, you know, he won't be 1-0-1. But I think he should be, and he will.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, the question is, who do you think can challenge him? I'll throw you a bone. McCaffrey is up there. I mean, are you going to feel super comfortable with JT at the top of drafts next year? Probably not. Saquon? I don't know.
If let's say the Giants make a big move for a quarterback, I think Saquon's definitely in that conversation for 1-0-1.
Yeah, I think JT's out. I think Colts might be a
people
mess.
People aren't ready to get absolutely stung again. No.
Yeah. Bijan Robinson, number 1 overall next year. All right, I think that's probably it for TKD. See you guys next week. Hopefully we get the full complement of episodes in. But for this week, you'll just have to get all your Mo and McGee fill on the TKD.
Yep. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, see ya.